In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The text for this morning's sermon is the Gospel appointed for this fourth Sunday after Holy Trinity. The Gospel according to St. Luke, the sixth chapter, beginning at verse 36. Therefore be merciful, just as your Father also is merciful. Judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. And he spoke a parable to them. Can the blind lead the blind? Will they not both fall into the ditch? A disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone who is perfectly trained will be like his teacher. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not perceive the plank in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, "Brother, let me remove the speck that is in your eye," when you yourself do not see the plank that is in your own eye? Hypocrite, first remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck that is in your brother's eye. Thus far the Gospel of our Lord. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our Lord Jesus counsels us with the words he speaks in our text this morning. He addresses what we would call holy living, or a little bit more theologically, sanctification. He begins with, "Be merciful." That is a clear enough command, and it could easily stand alone. But Jesus does not leave it standing alone. He adds, just as your Father also is merciful. The point very much is not that we get ourselves to heaven by being merciful. Rather, the mercy we show others comes from and is inspired by God's mercy toward us. And that is what gets us to heaven. What mercy has God shown us? It is my joy to confirm a young lady today, at least young in my eyes. If you think I'm bad about, I know there was one more thing I wanted to mention in the announcements after church, you should see me after I'm done with a new member instruction class. There's always one more thing I think I should have said. One more important truth I wish I had conveyed. And thanks be to God, such things are learned in time as one remains in the communion of the church. But this I promise the whole congregation. I have not been derelict in teaching the gospel. You know what the gospel is, Susan, and all of you. It is the good news that Jesus Christ died on the cross for the forgiveness of your sins. That is the mercy that God has shown us. No matter how many your sins may be, remain truly repentant believers in Jesus and in the salvation he died to give you, and you will remain forgiven ones. You will remain spiritually alive. You will remain heirs of salvation. You are not saved by what you do. You are saved by what Jesus did for you. Not in order to gain mercy, but because God has already shown you this mercy, you are entrusted by Jesus with being emissaries of that mercy to the world. Be merciful, just as your Father also is merciful. And that's not easy to do, because you have an old sinful nature, and people are going to do things that anger you. And sometimes that anger isn't even wrong. Those times where the source of your anger is directed toward genuine wickedness on the other person's part. This is where much of the rest of what Jesus has to say comes in this morning. The blind leading the blind. Remove the plank before you try removing your brother's speck. It doesn't mean that you don't try to help other people spiritually. It doesn't mean that if you see that they have a doctrinal blind spot, you shouldn't correct them. It doesn't mean if they have a speck in their eye, you shouldn't remove it. Some people take it that way. They grovel and say, "Oh, I have so much of my own stuff to deal with. I have no right," and that's what they call it, a right, "to deal with the flaws of another." This is absolutely wrong. For example, as parents, when your children are in error, you must correct them, even as I must do for you as the father of this congregation. The point is not that you should never correct anyone. The point is that you should be and remain a corrected one yourself. And as a repentant, corrected, forgiven one, on that basis, be the Lord's instrument for correcting others gently and mercifully. We who are parents quickly discover, as our children grow, that if we only admonish our children against those sins that we ourselves have never committed, well, our children's moral instruction will be sadly lacking. If I were limited to preaching only against those sins that I myself had never committed, I might be up to 3 sermons by now. The point isn't that you have to be perfect. The point is that you remain faithful. And part of being faithful means continually being repentant of your own sins. There are plenty of specks to be removed in this here neck of the woods. If you will elevate your conversations with your friends from celebrity gossip or politics or other things of this world, they may confide struggles to you. Some Christians question their salvation because, well, they have doubts or they think these bad thoughts or they don't give enough or try to tell other people about Jesus enough or whatever the criteria may be. It all boils down, whether they realize it or not, to the fact that they have been brought to believe in a corrupted version of the gospel. They think they have to do something. And while they've never thought of it this way, where that leaves them is that they believe that Jesus is only mostly their Savior. They have to be a little bit their own Savior too. And they're worried that they aren't doing their part good enough. Dear ones in Christ, first repent of your own sins. By all means, get your own devotional life in order. But then, by all means, help them. Tell them the good news that Jesus really has done it all. They are forgiven by grace through faith in Him. And that forgiveness is most certainly enough to cover a covetous thought or the doubts that the old sinful flesh is constantly bringing to the table. To remove that speck, simply speak the words, "The blood of Jesus covers that too." No need for your own blood. In that vein, we come to what I call the most abused passage in all of Scripture, at least these days. "Judge not, and you shall not be judged." Today, Susan, and for most of the rest of you, on a day some time ago, you took a decided doctrinal and moral stand. You renounced the devil and all his works and all his ways. The Scriptures are full of commandments. Do this, don't do that. We call this the law, which together with the gospel comprise the two poles, the two teachings of Scripture. And beyond that, we find plenty of warnings against false prophets, both in the Old Testament and in the New. Those warnings matter. The commandments are clear. The law is there to show you your need for Jesus. If someone goes thinking, "That commandment doesn't count anymore," that's the corollary when it comes to the moral law. That's the corollary of their misunderstanding of this "judge not" verse. Then the obvious next step is to think, therefore, I don't need Jesus' blood to atone for that sin anymore. Undermining the law ultimately undermines the gospel. And not only is that true when it comes to the commandments, but then it is also true for people who teach wrongly about the law or about the gospel. Romans 16:17 is very clear. Now I urge you, brethren, note those who cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. Here's the rub. Noting or marking those who teach contrary to sound Christian doctrine and avoiding them requires, are you ready for it? A judgment as to who is or is not a teacher of true and false doctrine. This is why I call that verse the most abused passage in the Bible. Many people want to take this to be saying that taking any sort of a moral or doctrinal stand is contrary to the teaching of Jesus. Nothing could be further from the truth. First of all, if they condemn Orthodox Christians as judgmental, they have themselves engaged in an act of judgment. They have made the determination that you are a judgmental person, and that itself is judging. It's a judgment. The irony alone is quite rich. It's a little like when they scream, "Deeds, not creeds." Do they not realize that the statement, "Deeds, not creeds," is itself a creed? It is a statement of what they believe. But in point of fact, Jesus is not telling you to shut down your powers of deductive reasoning or to abandon dogma in favor of however being a good person is getting spun these days. Quite to the contrary. His point is that we are not to judge by the standards of our own flesh. Let Scripture do the judging. Let it first judge you. What do the Scriptures have to say on the topic of whatever it is you are thinking or saying or doing or failing to think or to say or to do? Where the Scriptures show you your sin, humble yourselves, repent, and receive the blood-bought forgiveness of Jesus, which He very much wants to give you. And then, as circumstances may call for it, you can see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye when you see that Scripture has something to say about what they are doing. Know that you have passed out of judgment and into life. Know that everything from your original sin to your seemingly penny ante sins, right on down to the worst thing you ever did, it has all been paid for by the shed blood of Jesus on the cross. And that forgiveness has been delivered to you personally by faith, a faith which is itself a gift of God and not a work that you do, a faith that is created and sustained by the word of the Lord and by the saving gifts of our Lord, what we call the sacraments. You really are forgiven by Jesus. And knowing these things, may God have abundant use of each and every one of you, not just in speaking up against the manifold evils of our day, but even more in announcing to a world desperate to hear it the good news of the forgiveness of sins through faith in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.